featured attraction, is in studio right now. He is the latest, newest, and current head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, fresh off an 8-year contract, which nobody gets at a ridiculous amount of money. Mike Babcock is with us. Well, surprise. Congratulations.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, if you had asked me a couple months ago, I'd be surprised too. But you're going through the process that Kenny Holland and Mr. I allowed me to do after 10, you know, unbelievable years in Detroit. You know, it was, I don't know, 12 days long or whatever. I met with lots of teams. I enjoyed the process. It was gut-wrenching, very emotional, to say the least. But in the end, I'm thrilled to be sitting with you here today and be the Maple Leafs coach.
Kenny this morning talked about the fact that yesterday morning at about 8 a.m. you went over to his house.
I did.
And you spent about 40 minutes, 45 minutes at his house. And at that time, he believed you hadn't made a decision yet. I've been through sort of a similar situation. And my immediate reaction was, Mike's looking to see if there's any more there, that he's not sure about leaving. He's been there 10 years. These are his people. These are his friends. This is his city. Leaving is always harder than you think. Most coaches don't get the chance to do what you did. They get told they're leaving.
Right.
Is that why you went?
Well,
just to see if there was any way that they could come closer.
No. This is where you don't understand. This wasn't a financial thing at all. These teams all, it was no issue financially. Okay. Well, they had all done enough for me financially. What I tried to do with Ken Holland when I went back, really what happened, that night before I went to bed, I knew what I was doing. My daughter's a senior in high school. Her and her girlfriend, they left the paper too late. The printer went off at 3:32 in the morning. I'm like, are you kidding? It's just going like this. You can just hear it coming. And I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
So suddenly then I started revisiting everything. And so there's decisions that I had made. And, you know, we've been going over and over and over this. Now I had a different plan. So I got up in the morning and I texted the guys that I'd been talking to. And I said, I need till 11:30. I got to talk to my wife again. And when she wakes up, we're going to go through it with coffee one more time. It's, you know, we're talking about an 8-year decision.
Yeah.
9-year decision, whatever, 10-year decision. So I went to see Kenny. And, you know, what's interesting is Kenny's been my confidant, made me a better coach, been a great man, been tight with my family, I've been tight with his for all these years. And now when you got questions, you got no one to ask because, you know, when my dad just passed, I would have talked to my dad a million times. He was a man of great reason. And you're looking for someone to talk to.
Right.
So we talked. So we talked, and I asked him to talk to Mr. and Mrs. I, and then I phoned him before he ever did. I just said, I'm going to the Leafs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I went through the process, went through all the reasons, and it was a great fit for my family. It was great. It's a big city. My wife and I can live downtown. We can have a different life. We're starting fresh. This is invigorating. It's a huge, it's a monster challenge. And so talking to Kenny, I don't know, it just made things clearer for me. His wife actually gave me a hug and said, I'm going to Mass, pray for you. And I appreciate Cindy doing that. It was a hard decision. It was very emotional for me, I have to tell you, but it was important to make the right one, and we have.
If Shanahan wasn't here, can you even evaluate whether this job would have been as intriguing?
Well,
because I've never understood really what your relationship with him is. You know, obviously you coached him. Sometimes it's difficult to turn around a guy that answered to you, and now technically you answer to him.
Well, I don't know if Shanny ever answered to me. They were veteran players. Shanny got 40 and 40 that year for me, and I still remember being under the Windsor Bridge when I got the phone call saying he was going to New York. His time was done in Detroit because Stevie was leaving. He thought it was the next chapter. He went to New York. I remember that conversation. But what I like about Shanny's story is Shanny, during the one lockout there, was probably hanging around the couch too much, driving his wife crazy, and they upset it and up this summit. And then he went to work for the NHL, and he sat in a little booth wondering if that was the end of his life. And then he spent the next 5 years going to meetings and getting involved in this. And he created a life for himself. The first time he got interviewed for a GM's job, he wasn't ready and told him.
Yeah.
He's worked his way to get here. He obviously likes it and has a plan. His plan, when he talked to me, when I talked to Mark Hunter, I'm a huge Mark Hunter fan. He's a hockey man, and he gets players. When I talked to those guys, it was great. And then when I went to see Larry at his home that night, and we went for dinner, when I left that night, and they made me a big offer right that night. When I got home, I said to my wife, that was impressive. I didn't expect to tell her that. I didn't expect that at all. But I was impressed. And then, you know, we went from there.
Mike, you said something interesting in the press conference today. You said from the coaching standpoint, you're going to coach every game kind of micro, but with the longer-term vision in mind down the road as soon as that game ends. How do you manage and balance that?
Well, I'm going to do what I've always done. Ken Holland and I have sat in that office for 10 years. We talk every single day, and we do everything we can long-term thinking, and I do everything I can to win. That's what I do, and I'm going to do the same thing here. But if you think the player decisions, personnel decisions are going to get in the way of our goal is not getting in the playoffs. Our goal is to be a cup team that bangs on the door, bangs on the door, bangs on the door, and then one day they open the door for us. That's what our goal is. That's going to take a serious build here. It's going to take serious people doing what they have to do and sticking to the plan for a long period of time. And the only way you win is by having great people.
Right.
And the more great people you surround yourself with, the better chance you have to really dig in when it matters. And it's hard. There's 29 other teams trying to do the same thing as you. And so I came in here with my eyes wide open. There's other teams ahead of us as far as their pursuit of their rebuild and get going. But Mark Hunter, I believe, is a very good scout. Our job is to get him as many picks as we can so that we can load it up and build a real program here that we can all be proud of.
The last 5-6 years, you guys have been a team in Detroit knocking on the door of trying to win that cup. You've had the approach with the veterans where you give them a little bit more rope. With the young kids, you're all over them. Does the approach at all change now with the fact that you're not going to be that team right away contending?
Well, what I would tell you is this is my approach, I believe, changes every single year. And so you got 23 players, you got to figure out 23 different ways to coach them. They're all different. But what I am with you is if I work for you, I want to know what you want because I'm going to please you. You tell me what you want, I'll please you. There's nothing worse than playing for a coach that can't tell you what he wants. You're a player, you're trying to read his mind. There's nothing worse than working for a general manager or a president that doesn't tell you what he wants. You're trying to read his mind. Just tell the guys, give them the plan, and have them execute. But I don't tiptoe around people, and I don't expect them to tiptoe around me. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that, if I cross the line with you, and I'll tell the people that are working with me, if I cross the line, just tell me. If you don't like the way I spoke to you, say, Babs, don't talk to me like that. I expect you to bring it every day, every single day, and I expect you to be a man when you don't, and own your own stuff, period. I believe the game's honest. And if you're an everydayer and you're honest about your approach and you're professional with the way you eat, the way you train, the way you live away from the rink, it shows when you come to the rink and the fans appreciate who you are. If you don't want to be like that, if you don't want to be part of the Maple Leafs, that's fine too. All you do is you go see Shanny. If you got a problem with me, you just walk across the hallway and see me. It's simple. I'm going to be very direct, but I also think I really like players.
Yeah.
I like being around. And you don't get to stay 10 years in one spot, 6 years in another spot. You must do something, right? So, you know, I'm going to push these guys hard, but I'm going to get to know them in a hurry. We need to make it safe here to play for these players. Safe so they can feel good about who they are. And so in order to do that, we got to build our program so we got a better program.
Well, we don't have to tell you about the business of the game. I mean, you know that. If you don't have a guy who is going to buy in, but the business of the game makes it very difficult to get him out the door, how do you manage that?
Well, we just make a decision over time.
Right.
But this is what I can tell you. I'm going to say it again. Good people are going to play for this team. What I liked about the process here was Shanny and the board, and when I talked to those guys, I asked them, 3 years out when we're getting ridiculed, and your family's getting abused, and it isn't going, and you're still going to have my back. Do you understand how long this is going to take? Are you in for the ride? The fans are. It's not the fans that. It's the people running it that
get impatient.
Get discouraged.
Yeah.
Get worried. Get weak. We're not doing that. We're going to commit to the process. Now, is it going to be hard at times? Absolutely. But the board said they're going to have my back. Shanny said they're going to have my back. I'm going to have their back. They made a huge commitment to me in years. I made the same commitment back. At one point in the contract negotiation, I asked for an out after. They said no chance. I was pumped when they said no chance. Like, we're in it together. Let's do it. And, you know, the way I look at it is it's an unbelievable city with a franchise that is an unbelievable business. We have to have the on-ice product to be deserving of the sweater and this community and what we have a chance to do. And I don't know if I've been more excited. It's a great day.
You had other opportunities. Was there one thing about this group of players that helped influence you? You've talked a lot about the people, the management people, but there was...
No, I never...
Players didn't even come into the equation.
No. And I don't want to come off the wrong way there. This opportunity was afforded to me by the board, mm-hmm. Shanny, the great fans of this team, and this city. That's why I'm here. Now, do I think we have some players? Absolutely. Do I think we have more players than we know? We're going to find out because we're going to watch them. We're going to figure it out. And then we're going to build a real program. But there's no hurry here, at least not for me. Now,
right.
I got a burn to win. Ridiculous. I love winning. We're going to win. It's just going to take more time than I would like.
Your teams in Detroit had a specific style. Is this a style that you mandated? Did you and Kenny talk a lot about this style? Did it morph over time, or did you implement this?
No, it just changed over time. It changed every year. We tried to get better, lifelong learning, embrace what's new, find new ideas, try to be cutting edge. I hired him. You know, one of the things I'm most proud of in our run in Detroit over the last 10 years since the salary cap, the only team to make the playoffs every year for 10 years, we had averaged 106.4 points a year. I only know that because one of these teams I interviewed with showed me. we had 23 playoff rounds, most at that time. We had a great run, but what we did is we developed people. Steve Yzerman and Pat Verbeek in Tampa, Jimmy Nils in Dallas, Todd McClellan's in Edmonton, Paul McLean was in Ottawa, who else? Bill Peters in Carolina. Blashill's going to be the next coach in the Wings. I'm missing somebody in that process. These people came to Detroit and they got better, and the players got better, and we developed talent, and we made better men, and Henrik Zetterberg and Pavel Datsyuk and Nick Cronwell packed me around on their back for 10 years. You need good players. In saying all that, though, that's what we're going to do here. But you do that by building something. I'm a school teacher. That's what I am. We're going to build something here that makes people better, and other franchises are going to be attracted to it, and then they're going to take our people. When other franchises start taking your people, you know you're doing something good.
Did you think twice about this job, given the history of this franchise?
No, 100 times about it. I went back and forth. Like, you know, what's interesting is Randy Carlyle, Norris Trophy winner, 1,000 games, Stanley Cup winner, he coached here. Lots of good men have coached here.
Yeah.
But
very few have succeeded.
Yeah, in different levels of success. Pat Quinn, I thought, succeeded here.
I would give you that, yeah.
And what I would tell you, though, is that you can only coach what you're given. But when you get the people to buy into the plan, the board's in, Shanny's in, the fans are in, who's in the way? And I believe that the people that get paid to cover this great game, you get paid because there's fans watching. The more fans we have, the better off we are. There must be a big deal going on here. I've talked to more media people today than I've talked to since the Olympics. So in saying that, is most of you guys are fans of the Leafs too. You want them to do well too. Sure. Now, you get paid to hack all over us. I understand that totally. But just think of it as a player when you go to a press conference or you go talk to the media after you win. You get used to doing that. You win all the time. Media is not so bad, are they? They're actually saying good things about you. You know, when you work real hard and you bring it every day and they say good things about you, it's not bad. You know, the years I had to turn the standings upside down in Detroit when things weren't going very good or we lost a bunch in a row, I stopped listening to the media. I listen to country music, and I don't listen to the talk radio. Why? I can beat myself up. I don't need any help.
Yeah, I understand that.
My point is this, is if we create an environment, when we create an environment that allows these players to be safe, it's going to be way better. The other thing is, how many people from Ontario play in the National Hockey League? Once we make it safe, they're coming home.
You really think people will want to play in Toronto?
You got it. They don't right now.
It's hard.
Oh, it's really hard. Mark my words. They'll be coming.
Mike, what's your philosophy on analytics? This is an organization that has really taken a step in that direction over the last year or so. Where's your thought process there?
I love it. And what I love is I love information. So what I've tried to do is surround myself with as many young, smarter people than me, more learned in that area than me, and they give you information. Now, sometimes the information they give you, you don't think is very good, but lots of times it's great ideas. I heard a kid last year, phoned out to the University of Michigan, said, I need a math guy, real smart guy, just graduated, real good social skills, loves hockey. Can you find me that guy? Boom. A couple days later, just so happened my kids knew who he was. We put him in our office next to our video coach. I said to him, I don't know what your job is. Figure it out.
Wasn't commissaric, was it?
No. But my point to you is pretty soon that guy was making a huge impact. From the point that he had found things that we could use that were reoccurring situations in the game that led to success, staying on offense or getting out of the defense situation fast. It was a great little thing he gave me. Then the next thing you know, he's evaluating my pregame talks. I'd come in after him, I'd say, what did I say? He'd tell me, there's a 24-year-old kid making you better. There's so many great ways to use information's great. You just got to make sure it makes sense and that you can't cloud your vision of what's going on. So that to me is what analytics is.
Congratulations once again. Thanks very much for coming in here. We hope to see you again with some regularity, although we understand your schedule is going to be very busy. If we don't talk in person, we'll talk on the phone. We're happy for you. We're excited on behalf of all the fans here. And we wish you the best of luck.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Thanks for having me in today. And, you know, I want to say one more time, I'm so excited to be the Leafs coach.
We know you are.
We're going to do good things here. It's not going to happen as fast as anybody wants. That's just life.